Okay, good. I can still say some stupid stuff then. Hello, everybody. Thank y'all for tuning in and joining us. We'll start with the word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in fellowship this evening, despite some nasty weather here and there outside, and we just are ready to take in your word, rightly divide it, and learn of all the good things you have in store for us, the eternal salvation. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so hopefully this evening's going to go a little better than last month whenever I tried this. But I actually have a topic we're going to look into. And I chose the topic of faith for today. And I kind of like that one because it's one of those things you always hear about and you never hear a whole lot of elaboration on. Some people might even wonder just the simple question of what is faith in the Bible? What exactly are they trying to mean when they say that it's through faith that you're saved? Well, in Hebrews 11, we find verses 1 through 3 tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So faith, I got really loud all of a sudden. All right, that's a little better. Sorry. So faith is what you use to believe in things that you cannot see. Like, for instance, none of us saw God creating the world. We all believed it happened. It actually says that God spoke the world into existence. And it is your faith that you use to believe that and hopefully show others of things like that. Faith has a couple of different points in the Bible for us, or should I say a couple of aspects to faith would be a better way to word it. Faith has a purpose, faith has a promise, faith gives us privileges, and faith has power for us. And I'm going to kind of touch on some of those things, what I mean by that. And I'll start with, in my mind, one of the most important purposes of faith, and that is for your salvation. Now, your salvation can be found in Ephesians 2:8, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And it's that faith of God which you find, if I'm not mistaken, in Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So the faith that we are saved through isn't our faith in anything, it's the faith of Christ. Which kind of segues into another part. Part of faith is acceptable acts. That's one of the purposes of it. It's kind of like your guiding light, more or less your conscience. Things that you do through faith are the works that will be awarded you at the seat of judgment, and things that are not of faith are of sin. So when you take all of your faith in this world and ball it up and God throws it in the fire, you'll get to see how much of it burns off and how much of it you get rewarded with. I don't know about y'all, but mine's going to go up like a bonfire. And some of those acceptable acts, that you can see what I'm talking about, living or your acts of faith. Because I'm not trying to say that your works are what's going to get you saved. We already know that's the faith of Christ. But your faith in your day-to-day life is what you're going to get judged on whenever we go and meet him. Like in 2 Corinthians 5, we'll start in verse 6. And I may kind of skim over some of them. I got a lot of verses written down for tonight. But in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted by him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Also, in Romans 14, you can find another illustration. And if you read through Romans 14 and you read through it knowing that Paul always wrote to those who are already saved, you can see that there's a conflict in Romans 14. People who are weaker than the other. So he's writing to the Romans, some of whom were very strong in their faith. Those would have been the former Jewish members of Rome who were used to living the law. And then there's the Gentiles who are now saved who don't exactly walk the same way the other Christians did. But if you go down in 14 to verse 23, you can see, and he that doubteth is damned to eat, because he eateth not of faith. And the last part of the verse is really what I was looking for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so that goes back to your works being judged. Everything you do today that isn't guided by your faith is part of your judgments that will just burn off before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's also a good lesson if you read through chapter 14 of Romans. It's got a pretty good point of not being a stumbling block unto other fellow saints. If you know somebody who may not be the same strength of you in the Word of God, has certain hindering points in their life, you're not to tempt them with it or put them forth as a stumbling block, as it says. It's kind of like your brother's keeper in chapter 14, which is always a good lesson you can go into as well. And like I said earlier, your actions that are not of faith, that's what kind of gets your guilt going. You can see an example of that in the story of Cain and Abel, which we won't have to turn to Genesis. I think we're all pretty familiar with it. But Cain kills Abel because of his jealousy, because Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, Cain's was not. But he's also troubled after he killed Abel because it wasn't his brother that made him so unhappy. It was his guilt inside of him, or his lack of faith in those actions. So that's a pretty good illustration of how that can gnaw on you, I guess you could say. Now, something else faith promises us is righteousness, which is found in Romans 5, since we're close to it. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was my justified verse. That one's in there too. Romans 8:30. That's the one I was going. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. So there you can see our glorification in the Lord, which is also another good aspect that faith has. Oh, I see what I did wrong. Y'all bear with me. I completely skipped like three lines in my notes. Romans 3 is where I find righteousness. And we'll start in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. There's my righteousness verse. And if you skip on down to 28, you can see again where it states that, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the gods of the Jew only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And that law, which they stated there, isn't, of course, the law of the Jewish religion, because they just said that the law is dead. That's the law of faith. Or, God, I forgot where I saw it earlier today. The law of the Spirit of God, it's referred to in other places in Paul's writing. It's not, like I said, the law of what you have to do. It's the gospel or the grace of God, more of what he's talking about. Now that I got myself all turned around up here. Romans 4:4-8. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that is justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And if y'all are wondering, that's us. So David was definitely referring to us back there in his Psalms, because we are no longer imputed with our sins, and we are now the ones justified through the Lord. Now, since I already did the next one, I guess we'll turn now to Galatians 3. And in Galatians 3, I'm going to use this to highlight one of the promises that we get through faith, and that is we get the promise to be joint heirs with Christ and God. Verse 22, by the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, and that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there you can see we are now heirs of God, which is something else that we get through faith of Jesus Christ. See, there's another one we're going to pull out of here. Romans. Let me make sure I got the right one before I send y'all on my wild goose chase again. So in Romans 8, verse 15 is where I wanted to start. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beneath witness with the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so when you get all the blessings of Christ, you get all the blessings that God has to offer, which is an unlimited power. So we now have in us an unlimited power. Let me make sure I wrote down the right verse on how we get to show that spiritual power. I think this is where I got a little sidetracked today trying to put my notes together. Here we go. We're going to go to Ephesians. Now, all this power we have balled up inside of us, which is of things not seen, has to get expressed somehow. So in Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." That is showing Spirit is God in us, and every time we act out of faith, you are demonstrating that power that you have outward. And that is your way to show through faith the power that's inside of you. And a lot of that takes dedication. I can't say I'm an example of that, but if you read through Paul's writings and see some of the stuff he went through, you can definitely see it was definitely inside of him. Now, part of all these great things, I just wanted to highlight that we weren't always the chosen people of God, and I know a lot of y'all out there listening already know that and probably know the story. I'm going to pull out of the book of Mark real quick. But just to show you what type of standing, if you're not familiar, us Gentiles used to have in the world. We'll go to Mark chapter 7, verse 25. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." And if y'all are wondering what the hymn is, it's coming up right here in 27. "But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs." So there is a Gentile being compared to a dog. That was our promise back whenever Jesus was walking. Thank God he had other things in store for us. Now, something else that Romans 5 did, which I mistakenly went to a little too early, verses 1 and 2 of Romans 5, it also shows you how we have access to God, which is through our faith, or through faith of Jesus Christ. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God." So now we have 24-hour access to our Lord in heaven, which is a lot better than it used to be. If you remember in the Old Testament, you had to go to the throne of God with blood. So I'd much rather my faith over having to kill something every time I needed to ask the Lord's help. What's that? Oh, yeah. That's true. If only I could have sacrificed as many things as I needed to. Yeah. All right, let's see where I've taken myself. Y'all forgive me, I kind of combined some of these things in speaking that I have written down separately, so now I got to figure out where I don't need to double speak myself. And some of this stuff, just to try to make the point, we are going to go to some chapters, verses again, and kind of look at different parts of them. Like, for instance, when we were talking about exhibiting the power of the faith in us, touch on that again real quick. In 2 Corinthians, at least in my mind when I read it, it gives you an example of the dedication, which shows faith in operation, being dedicated to see things through. In chapter 12, verse 9, And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ that may rest upon him. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And there you can see quite clearly, whenever we are at our weakest, Christ is going to be at his strongest in us, which is another way you can show forth your faith that's dwelling in you. Man, I was going to do this good little speech at the end, and I'm going to kind of mess that up already, too. We'll do it anyway. So, if our faith is not what gains us salvation, as some people think, you may wonder what exactly it is, and of course there's always some great scriptures on that one, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And y'all don't have to turn there, because I'm pretty sure y'all all know it. I just don't want to misquote it on camera. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you can see there that grace is just a gift to us, and the way you would get that gift in Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for the righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So there you can see the gift of God is eternal life that you get through faith. The faith of Christ, who gave himself for us, and we are since crucified and resurrected with, therefore clearing us of all of our sins. Going back to what David says, blessed are those who the Lord does not impute sin. And so there you see that is us that we get those blessings. And then in Galatians, since we're right here, to illustrate that we were made sin on the cross, if you jump over just to the next chapter in verse 10, for as many as are the works of the law under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for that just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that's another real powerful one that you can see. Christ was made sin on our behalf, and kind of like was touched on not too long ago, God's wrath was poured out there on the cross on Christ instead of us, because I don't know about you, I don't think I could have handled up to what was coming that particular day. But all of our sins were placed there, and the wrath of God was able to pour out, and now we've been pardoned since we have been crucified, buried, and resurrected. And your salvation is based on the fact that Christ fulfilled the law, and then he was made sin for us. So, I guess kind of in a way you could say that we trust just a little bit in works, but it's not our works that are going to get you there. You've got to trust that Christ's works are what was good enough to satisfy the Father, and that he was made the perfect sacrifice to where all of our sins could be washed clean that way. Well, I did a little better than last time. I made it past the 15-minute mark. Not by a whole lot. But I think we'll end in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving me the strength to get up here and try to spread your word. And thank you for everybody who took the time out of their evening to tune in and come in. And please just be with us all as we try to spread your good news to all of those around us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.